This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehi Suhib. Coming up on Africa News Tonight,
the NCC suspended Vision Card and two of its journalists for 1 month each.
That's Moki Edwin Kinzaka reporting from Yaoundé. Details coming up.
Also, the DRC's Electoral Commission has delayed the presidential elections a week. And after weeks of bickering and negotiation in Somalia's parliament, the effort to impeach President Mohamed Abdullahi Farmajo has stopped.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
The two largest parties in the hotly contested presidential race in the DRC say they have accepted the recent announcement that long-promised general elections would be delayed by 1 week to December 30th. The opposition is using the delay to fire up supporters in the capital. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg with reporting from Kate Pound Dawson in Washington.
What's in a week? In Congo, the answer depends on your politics. The opposition is using the controversial delay, announced Thursday by the Electoral Commission, as a rallying point to stir supporters. The opposition said the government was technically incapable of holding the poll, which was planned for this Sunday. Before a crowd of hundreds of people in Kinshasa, Congo's leading opposition figure, Felix Tshisekedi, on Friday urged supporters to remain calm and accept the delay, according to a party official who briefed VOA after the event. But his party's secretary general added that holding the elections after December 30th would constitute a red line. The party official also said that the opposition would continue to campaign until 24 hours ahead of the poll, in defiance of a recent ban on opposition rallies in the capital due to concerns about street violence. Meanwhile, the ruling party, which has been in power for more than two decades and whose candidate, Emmanuel Ramazani Shadari, was hand-picked by longtime President Joseph Kabila, was resigned to the delay. Ruling coalition spokesman Andre Alana Tundu told VOA.
We'll cope with it. And meanwhile, we try to take advantage of this week more for the benefit of his candidate, Mr. Shadari.
Analyst Paul Nantulia of the Africa Center for Strategic Studies told VOA that the delay pales in comparison to the 2 years that Kabila has remained in power beyond his mandate. Elections were supposed to happen in 2016, and the repeated delays have raised concerns of possible violence.
Kabila has moved very, very meticulously. We do see signs of the potential of violence. There have been skirmishes between, opposition supporters and supporters of the ruling coalition in Kasai, in Kinshasa as well. There was these incidents over the weekend. The Catholic Church has been very, very concerned, and rightly so. And what we're hearing is that they're going to deploy 41,000 peace monitors around the country because they're very concerned about what's going on. The police has announced that it will be deploying thousands of security personnel.
Ruling coalition spokesman Atundu dismissed concerns around the poll.
We are confident that things will go on as we hope. There is no reason that DRC cannot organize election. This delay is just a small delay, but 1 week is not so far.
Nantulia also raised long-standing concerns, mostly from the opposition and international observers, about the poll being credible. In a round of recent interviews with international media, Kabila said that while he will step down as planned after this election, he may return to power in the future.
Kabila has maneuvered very well. He is firmly in control of the Electoral Commission, the Supreme Court, and the Constitutional Court, in case there is a dispute, are loaded with Kabila loyalists. There were a couple of changes in recent months. He's firmly in control of the coercive instruments of the state, the police and intelligence in particular, that have been implicated in human rights violations, the military as well.
Those concerns have been echoed by numerous rights groups and by the international community, which has placed sanctions on Congolese institutions and top officials, including Shadari. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
The United Nations reports human rights violations have surged over the past 2 years in the Democratic Republic of Congo's North Kivu province as security in the conflict-ridden region has worsened. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
UN Human Rights Chief Michelle Bachelet has expressed deep concern about the flare-up of violence in at least 3 provinces of the Democratic Republic of Congo. She says people have the right to freedom of expression and should be able to demonstrate peacefully and safely. Bachelet's spokeswoman, Ravina Shamdasani, says the High Commissioner is calling for a prompt investigation into the violent events that have killed at least 5 people and injured many more.
The High Commissioner says she is deeply worried about the reports of excessive use of force, including live ammunition by security forces against opposition rallies. She's also concerned at reports of the use of inflammatory speech by political leaders.
Shamdasani tells VOA the government, in its defense, argues that those who support the opposition often carry out violent acts and the government has to respond.
However, this is no reason to use live ammunition against a mixed crowd of peaceful protesters and some who may be trying to carry out violent acts. At the end of the day, it's the government's responsibility to ensure that the use of force is very much limited to only situations where there is an imminent threat to the police or to the security forces.
The election on December 23rd will be the first time citizens of the DRC will go to the polls to elect a new leader since Joseph Kabila became president 17 years ago. Amid the backdrop of rising tensions, a fire broke out Thursday in an electoral commission building in the capital, Kinshasa, burning thousands of voting machines. Opponents accuse backers of Kabila of setting the premises ablaze to postpone the election. A presidential adviser would not comment on what or who might have caused the fire, but said police guarding the warehouse have been arrested. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Weeks of bickering and negotiation in Somalia's parliament have stopped an effort to impeach President Mohamed Abdullahi Farmajo. Opponents and supporters of the president agreed in writing yesterday that the impeachment motion was invalid. Analysts said the letter from parliament was a political lifeline for the besieged president. Farmajo was accused of violating the constitution by signing what his opponents said were secret commercial deals with Eritrea and Ethiopia, as well as unilaterally appointing judges and army commanders. An impeachment motion needs the support of 92 of the 275 members of parliament. 14 of the MPs who were listed on the document complained that they did not actually sign the paper. The parliamentary leadership also argued that the impeachment effort was placed in the wrong court. A similar motion last March against the former speaker, Professor Mohamed Osman Jawari, caused a bitter argument over its validity and finally brought his resignation. You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehi Suhi, 14 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. The Democratic Republic of Congo's Electoral Commission has delayed the presidential election for a week. The UN reports human rights violations have surged in the DRC's North Kivu province. And weeks of bickering and negotiation in Somalia's parliament have stopped an effort to impeach President Mohamed Abdullahi Farmajo. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
The top U.S. diplomat for Africa says the new United States policy for Africa does not fundamentally change its core values. VOA's Adam Phillips reports on comments by Tibor P. Nagy Jr., the U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for the Bureau of African Affairs.
While President Donald Trump has advanced what he calls an America First policy, Ambassador Tibor P. Naj on Friday told journalists that doesn't necessarily mean the United States has turned away from the rest of the world.
I don't think it's accurate to say that we're focused more inward because, number one, we're a global power. We are globally engaged. We're one of the few countries in the world that has to be everywhere, every when. And this Africa policy goes absolutely along with that because, number one, America's economy very much depends on global engagement. Our companies are global companies.
Naj spoke to journalists via an online news conference a week after National Security Advisor John Bolton presented a U.S. strategy for Africa. That policy lays out three key objectives: advancing commercial ties with Africa to benefit both African states and the U.S., fighting terrorism, and ensuring that U.S. aid funds are spent effectively. Bolton said the administration would carefully assess its activities in Africa to make sure they are in the interests of the United States. On Friday, Naj told journalists that advancing human rights abroad remains a key U.S. interest.
Promoting human rights, promoting good governance, promoting opening political space, promoting supporting civil society, religious organizations, that is so fundamental to America's foreign policy that I compare that to breathing. Those values go with being the United States of America. They are part of our diplomacy, they're part of our development, and they're also part of just our cultural and social engagement with the world at large.
The peace agreement in South Sudan was uppermost in the minds of some reporters. Naj restated the U.S. policy on that accord.
When the peace deal was signed, quite frankly, the international community was somewhat dubious about it going forward. But here's the truth. It is the only peace deal in effect right now, so everybody is doing their best to try to make it succeed, and we will all do everything possible that we can to make it succeed, both on positive reinforcement, but also, quite frankly, applying sanctions to those people who are blocking the agreement.
Naj expressed great optimism for America's relationship with Africa and its many governments. His next mission to the continent will take him to Southern Africa, followed by an official trip to Central Africa. Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.
Uganda's government has told police to stop forcing cancellation of concerts by legislator Robert Chagulani, known as Bobby Wine. This followed Wine's complaint to Parliament of alleged continued persecution by police. Catherine Nambi reports from Kampala.
For many musicians, the festive season is time to make money from concerts. But for Bobby Wine, police have been cancelling most of the opposition legislators' scheduled concerts, disrupting or foiling them.
In October last year, five of my concerts were stopped. This year in October, I organized a concert in Nambole Stadium, but it was stopped by the police for a reason that has not been given yet. On the 2nd of December, I was supposed to attend a concert in Gulu. Even though we had written to the police and accomplished all requirements, when the police got back to me, they brought guidelines telling me that I had not been cleared because I had not fulfilled those requirements.
Other musicians who were scheduled to perform at the cancelled concerts are also counting their losses. Ronald Mainja is a Ugandan musician.
When you include in Bobby Wine, most of the shows just get cancelled by the police. We actually want the speaker to help us by informing the police to stop cancelling our shows.
Wine complained to Parliament that his source of income is under attack.
Honourable members, just like some of you who are doctors, lawyers, pastoralists and teachers outside this house, I'm also a musician, and that is how my family survives. And indeed, through that trade, right, Honorable Speaker and Honorable colleagues, I employ hundreds of Ugandans. It is my hope and prayer that this Honorable Parliament can rein in on the police and all security organs to stop abusing the laws of this land.
Government and security organs have repeatedly accused Wine of politicizing his concerts and having rowdy revelers. General Eli Tumwine is the Minister for Security.
Honorable Sentamu will be my witness. When he came to Parliament as a musician, I had a discussion with him. And I asked him a question. How will you balance your music from the politics?
Speaker of Parliament Rebecca Kadaga asked government to cite any law that bars a legislator from continuing to practice their profession once they join Parliament.
The form we signed when we are being nominated does not say that if you are a dancer, stop dancing. If you are a teacher, stop teaching. No.
After a heated debate, government bowed to pressure and said Bobi Wine was allowed to go ahead with his concerts, but on condition he fulfills all set security procedures. JJ Odong is Uganda's internal affairs minister.
Government shall not simply look on and abdicate its duties of protecting people and their property. So let us balance entertainment with our safety and security.
Since his entry into Parliament in late 2017, Bobi Wine has been viewed as a big threat to the government of President Yoweri Museveni, since a number of Ugandans, especially the youths, are continuously embracing his people power movement. This is Catherine Nambi for VOA News in Kampala.
Cameroon has suspended 16 journalists and 7 news outlets for periods ranging from 1 month to 6 months for what it calls media offenses. Moki Edwin Kenzika reports from Yaoundé.
This is Vision CAD, a privately owned television station in Cameroon's capital Yaoundé, broadcasting special Christmas programs. It has defied Wednesday's order by the Cameroon National Communication Council, NCC, not to broadcast for 1 month. NCC Chair Peter Isoka says he is considering asking the administration and the police to shutter the TV station.
The council is not a policeman and it is not authorized to implement. But we could press on the implementation by consulting with the Ministry of Territorial Administration. We took our decision and we hope that that will be implemented as soon as possible.
The NCC suspended Vision CAD and 2 of its journalists for 1 month each. Ernest Obama was suspended for what the NCC said was the use of hate language that could have ignited tribal conflicts in Cameroon. Nadine Patricia Menge was suspended for erroneously announcing the death of Gabon President Ali Bongo Ondimba during its primetime news program on October 25. On October 30, Gabon also suspended the private channel from broadcasting for 6 months on its territory after it again reported the death of Ondimba, who was said to be in hospital in Saudi Arabia suffering from exhaustion. Gabon's broadcasting authority said the incorrect and false report had undermined its national unity, social cohesion, and public order. Journalist Mervis Kimbi of Cameroon State broadcaster CRTV says the sanction on Vision CAD was long overdue.
This particular media house was spreading false information, and information of that magnitude, which could have actually triggered a diplomatic crisis between Cameroon and Gabon. And there has been a lot going on the Vision CAD media that has not been punished.
The NCC also suspended Manny Mireille of the TV station Canal 2 International for 6 months, Joseph Roland Giotti of Le Quotidien de l'Economie for 1 month, and Zebazé Benjamin for 2 months. Dom Pipilasi Michel Dopas was suspended for 2 months for repeatedly reporting that Cameroon football star Samuel Eto'o is a homosexual. Journalist Etienne Gale of La Nation newspaper says the NCC for once did a good job by suspending the media outlets and journalists who were highly unprofessional in doing their jobs.
Ça a été établi, ça a été prouvé qu'ils n'ont pas pu apporter la preuve.
He says he appreciates the NCC for suspending a journalist of the radio station Soleil FM, who declared without presenting any evidence that the Cameroon football star Samuel Eto'o is a homosexual. He says although journalists have the right to broadcast information, they should stop spreading slander and telling lies intended to destroy public figures. Reporters Without Borders has always accused Cameroon's Communication Council of taking a tougher line towards journalists and media. But the recent sanctions have been hailed by some media professionals, especially as those sanctioned were asked to defend themselves in front of the NCC. In 2017, the NCC suspended 35 journalists and media outlets, accusing them of failing to respect professional norms and ethics. Cameroon has more than 500 newspapers and 100 radio and TV stations which express divergent views about the presidential election. The Reporters Without Borders 2018 World Press Freedom Index ranks Cameroon 129 out of 180 countries in the world. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
A Rwandan court has ordered that BBC reporter Pocas Ndaizira and 12 alleged accomplices be held under 90 days on charges that include terrorism and threatening national security. The judge said the defendants accepted the charges and were trying to get their sentences reduced. He said releasing them would allow them to get rid of evidence or organize other terror acts. Ndaizira earlier denied the allegation. Eugene Uimana has more details from Kigali.
Ndaizera was not allowed to speak to the media after the court's decision. His wife, Mukarugira Chantal, was among family members who were in the courtroom. This is so sad. It is a very hard evening home to explain to children how the situation is. Our firstborn is 7 years old. He keeps on asking, "Is daddy coming back?" And sometimes I cannot find the answer. It is very shocking. Ndaizera went missing and the Rwanda Investigation Bureau, RIB, paraded him in front of the media a week later. At the time, he said he didn't recognize the explosives that investigators presented, claiming he was planning a terror attack in Kigali. The judge said the defendants admitted their crimes and that they had worked with Cassien Hamhanga, a journalist who was sentenced for 25 years of crimes including planning to kill President Paul Kagame. Namuhanga escaped Nyanza prison a year ago. On Twitter, other journalists and colleagues have called for Daizela's release, saying he is a journalist, not a terrorist. Eugene Wimana for VOA News, Kigali.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to the sunny side of sports coming up at 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Xiaogun Cheng, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning in to the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Looking for something? Headline news?
interviews, analysis. We've got it all on VOAAfrica.com.
VOAAfrica.com.